Well, just look at you, will you? Sitting there all pretty and nice and neat. You guys clean up pretty well, I must say. And just look outside. It's a spring-like day, just gorgeous out there, and you've decided to come here on a Sunday morning and worship God. I got to tell you, He's just really happy with you when you do that. That's a good choice you made this morning. So glad you did that. Just reach that right hand around and give yourself a big pat on the back. Go ahead. Very nice. Now, don't throw your arm out. Don't hurt your shoulder, because I want you to take that same arm and pick up your Bible, that same hand, that right hand you used there, and pick up a Bible and be turning to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read some important verses of Scripture this morning, some things that Jesus had to tell us. Look, that old commercial, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I got to tell you, Jesus is about a million times more important than him. When Jesus says something, you better listen up. It's matters of life and death quite often, and we want to hear what it is He has to say, and we want to obey Him. Matthew chapter 7, this is Jesus preaching that awesome sermon, that one we call the Sermon on the Mount. And He gets towards the end of that sermon, and we read in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Jesus had just preached the greatest sermon of all time. It was unparalleled in its power, in its practicality, in its audacity. Now, how are you going to conclude a sermon of that magnitude? Well, you're going to conclude it with an equally bold and powerful conclusion. Jesus takes us to the end of time at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and He gives us just a glimpse of the Day of Judgment. And on that day, some people are just going to be in for the shock of their lives, we read here. Because many people are just going to be convinced that they're right with the Lord. I'm talking about people here who were doing some good things. People who actually prophesied and cast out demons, and people who worked miracles. And these people are going to be fully expecting a glorious entrance into their eternal reward. And Jesus is going to say to them that day, "Depart from me. I never knew you. Away with you. You workers of lawlessness, get out of my sight." People who called on the Lord, people who said, "Lord, Lord," they thought they knew Jesus well. "Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? We did all these things in your name." And Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you." Let me ask you something. How well do you know Jesus? I would venture to say that the vast majority of the people in the world who believe in the existence of a man called Jesus don't really know Him that well at all. They don't know the things that He expects of them, the things He demands of them, the things He will not tolerate in their behavior. Most believers don't know this Jesus that we just read about. Did you know that? This forbidding Jesus, this demanding, stern Jesus, this Jesus who would say, "Get out of my sight, away with you, I never knew you." Most people prefer that sweeter, kinder, loving version of Jesus, you know, the one who will overlook every shortcoming you ever had. The one who will ignore every disobedience, every law you break. He'll just turn His head away and not look at that. That's the Jesus people prefer to believe in. But I got to tell you, that's not the Jesus that we read about in the Bible. That's just not Him. I want us to look at the real Jesus this morning. The one we read about in the pages of the New Testament. The Jesus most people aren't aware of, or the one that they want nothing to do with, or both. I want to talk about the unpopular Jesus this morning. Everybody likes that popular Jesus, right? I want to talk about the unpopular Jesus. I want to talk about four titles that Jesus wears that a lot of people just soon not know anything about or have to deal with. That's what we're going to look at this morning, four things. And the first title that Jesus wears is that of teacher. And I got to tell you, Jesus as a teacher is a demanding teacher. Anybody ever have one of those types of teachers in school? Yes, we got a taker right there. Got one right now. At least one, right? Well, when I was a freshman in high school, I had that teacher. the one that nearly everybody despised and nearly everybody talked about behind his back because they were afraid of the guy. And he was very demanding, very strict. He was a stern disciplinarian. He just wasn't a very friendly, popular guy. And you know what? He didn't care. He didn't mind that one bit. He wasn't there to win popularity contests. And I got to tell you, from the very first test that I took in this guy's class, I learned some things from him that I'll never forget. He laid down the law of the land in his class very clearly from that very moment. And the number one law, the number one rule when you're taking a test in his class is if you have any problem whatsoever, you raise your hand. Because if you get up out of your seat for any reason, he taught us, you get a zero on your paper. So in that very first test, I had a section, that matching section. You know what I'm talking about? You got the words with the lines on one side and the words with the numbers on the other, and you got to match the number and up to the word and the line and put it in the right line. Well, I hate those things because I'm all the time messing up, in case any of you don't know me very well. And what I did was I put the very first number in the wrong line. So what did that mean for the rest of those lines? They were all wrong, right? So silly me, I got to get a new test. So what the first thing I do, I get up out of my seat and I walk up to the desk, the teacher's desk, and I said, "Look, teacher, I've really messed up here." And he snatched that paper out of my hand and put a big fat zero on it and he told me to go sit down. I got to tell you, my face lit up like a neon sign. I was so red. I've never been so embarrassed in my life, never been so infuriated. I got to tell you, I hated this guy for a couple of weeks. But you know what? In the long run, it turned out that I appreciated this guy more than any of my other teachers that I ever had dealings with. He taught me important life lessons. He taught me those difficult lessons that none of us like to learn, but the ones that we need to learn. The ones that are most necessary. And I got to tell you, that lesson has stayed with me for 30 years. I still, to this day, have a hard time getting up out of a seat without thinking about that guy. But Jesus is a teacher like that. Did you know that? Jesus is that type of teacher. He's demanding. He is a strict disciplinarian. He gave harsh warnings, stern reprimands to people. He called the religious leaders of that day, he called them hypocrites and blind leaders of the blind and whitewashed tombs. And he was the master teacher of spiritual necessities. He taught deep spiritual truths, and they weren't always transparent. They weren't always easy to understand. Sometimes they were difficult to understand. We read about just that sort of thing in John chapter 6 and verses 60 and 68. In John chapter 6 and verse 60, after Jesus taught them some spiritual truths, his followers said, "This is a difficult saying. Who can listen to it?" And then in verse 66, we read, "As a result of that, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." Jesus taught some difficult things to understand sometimes. Deep, meaningful, spiritual lessons that spoke to the very nature of men and women. But most couldn't or wouldn't perceive the message that he was trying to teach them. They had closed their eyes. They had stopped up their ears. They were dull of hearing. They had hardened their hearts. And they just wouldn't listen. They wanted Christ to feed their bellies. This happened just shortly after Jesus fed 5,000 people miraculously from just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And that's what they were around for. That's what they were sticking around for. They wanted their bellies fed, but Jesus wanted to feed their spirits. He wanted to save their souls. But that's not what they were in it for. Let me ask you, is it much different today with people than it was then? What about most people today? Do they really want to hear what it is that Jesus, the master teacher, has to teach them? I would have to say they don't. How many people do you know who really are into reading and learning and practicing righteousness and self-denial and sacrifice and commitment and dedication, absolute truth? How many people you know are up for that and are keen to those ideas? Most people want that nondescript kind of truth, right? Not that absolute kind. They want that less demanding kind of discipline teaching. They want guidelines rather than rules that they have to follow. Don't you know most people are more than willing to have a little talk with Jesus when things aren't going well in their life? They're not doing well physically or financially. They're having a hard time. But when they're doing well, things are going well. Their bellies are full. They're feeling great. they turn away from Him and follow Him no more, just like we read about these people in John chapter 6. I got to tell you, if that's the way people are following Jesus, then they're not really following Jesus. Because Jesus, He wants it all, or He wants none of you. Jesus calls people today, as He did then, to be His true disciples. He is the disciplinarian. He's the one who administers the discipline. We are the disciples, the ones who take that discipline and do something with it. You know what a disciple is? It's a learner, a perpetual learner, one who is in a perpetual state of apprenticeship, continually under the tutelage of the master teacher, Jesus the Christ. You never graduate from His teaching this side of eternity. And Jesus is a master teacher, but He is a strict teacher and He is a demanding teacher. And just most people in the world don't want to follow a teacher like that. How about you? Do you want to follow a teacher like that? I've got to tell you, it's in your best interest to do that. Well, the second title that Jesus wears is that of Master. Now, I want you to understand this about Jesus. He has absolute authority over all things. He is our commander. He is our ruler. He is our supreme and final authority on all matters, bar none. And we read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus making that very statement. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 20. This is right before Jesus left this earth. Some of the last words Jesus left with His apostles. We read, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age." Jesus doesn't make suggestions. Did you know that? He doesn't make proposals for your due consideration. He has been given all authority. He is your Creator. He is your Provider. He is your supreme ruler. He makes orders to be observed. He makes commands to be obeyed. And that's the way you have to deal with Jesus, or you're just not going to be happy with the result. We read in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14 that He is the Lord of lords and kings of kings, and those who are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. You got to be faithful to your Lord of lords and your King of kings. You got to be a faithful follower, a disciple, if you want to be on His side. And let me tell you, you most definitely do. You want to be on Jesus' side. If you're against Him, you're in big trouble. If you want to be on His side, you're going to be faithful. A faithful servant to the King of kings. If you want to be with Him on the other side of eternity, then you better obey Him on this side. Because that's going to be your only chance to do that. You really have to know who Jesus is. So important to know who He is. Some kids were asked that question, who they thought Jesus was. This was some of the responses some young children gave to their take on who Jesus was. A 3-year-old had this to say about Jesus. He said, "He is very strong, even stronger than my big brother." One young child had this to say about Jesus. She said, "During His life, Jesus had many arguments with sinners like the Pharisees and the Republicans. And Jesus also had 12 opossums. And the worst one was Judas Asparagus. Judas was so evil, they named a terrible vegetable after him." Kids say the most delightful things. It's adorable and funny, and I could just listen to those kind of things from the mouths of children all day long. It's heartwarming to hear those kinds of statements from young people. But look, when adults have these childish views, these childish misconceptions about what Jesus is and who Jesus is, it's just pathetic and it's inexcusable. Most adults view Jesus how? How do you think it is that most adults in the world look at Jesus? As that sweet-faced guy that you see in all the paintings, the artist's rendition of him? You know, the guy with the long, beautiful, wavy hair and those sad eyes. You know that guy who looked like he wouldn't hurt a fly? Wouldn't lift his hand to a gnat. Most people, adults, look at Jesus as their buddy, as their pal. Make no mistake about this, good people. Jesus is no man's equal. He is no effeminate wimp. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He's the all-powerful King of the universe. He is to be feared and revered and followed and obeyed. Jesus is just not your pal and your buddy. He is the source of all life, the giver of all good things, and He is the absolute authority of the universe. We read in Matthew chapter 8, verses 27 through 29, Jesus went out along with His disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way He questioned His disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told Him, saying, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets." And He continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said to Him, "You are the Christ." That's who Jesus is. The Christ, God's chosen one. The one who's going to come into the world and save the world. The one who's going to come into the world and rule the world as well. Who do people say Jesus is today? A cute, cuddly little baby in a manger. The baby Jesus. Everybody loves the baby Jesus, right? He's the greatest. That weakling, you know, with the long hair and the pale blue eyes. Just a human being. A lot of people just look at it. Just a human. He's just a man like you and me. He'd tolerate sin, tolerate anything, any kind of disobedience. Just wouldn't say a word against anything you might do. 1 6-year-old had this to say about Jesus. He said, "He is the Christ. Can you tell me what that means?" And then he said, "He is holy." I think quite often children get it right more so than adults do. Sometimes children can teach us the most valuable of lessons in the world. Jesus is the Christ. And He is holy. And you have to approach Him as such. And we need to understand what that word and those terms imply. Well, the third title that Jesus wears is that of friend. Now, most people don't have a problem with that title, right? Like the idea of having a good friend, don't we? Most children have that concept of Jesus as their friend, don't they? That's the depiction that most adults prefer, right? We love that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." All our sins and griefs to bear. Those words are so comforting and encouraging. I got to tell you, I love that song too. Love singing it. But I got to tell you something about Jesus. He is a friend, but He's a very demanding friend. Have you ever had one of those friends that everything had to be done their way? You had to do things the way they said, when they said it, and go where they wanted to go and do things how they wanted to do it. What do we call friends like that, right? What do we call them? Bossy people, right? Bossy, bossy, bossy. What do we usually do with friends like that? We drop them, don't we? We hang around with people who are going to boss us around. I'm an adult now. I'm not going to have any adult boss me around, thank you very much. No one is the boss of me, certainly not you. Look, I have those kind of friends at work. We call them supervisors or foremen. If I want to hang around with a boss, I'll just go hang out with the guy I work with. But I got to tell you something about Jesus. He is that kind of friend. That's just exactly the kind of friend He is. Did you know that? We read in John chapter 15 and verse 4, or verse 14, He said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Wow. He put some serious restrictions on being His friend, didn't He? You want to be a friend of Jesus? You want to have Him as your true friend? You got to do just exactly what He says. When He says it, how He says to do it, as often as He says to do it. That's a demanding friend. We might drop a friend like that if we had him on this earth. There's another song we sing about Jesus, and it's not "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," but "I'll Be a Friend to Jesus." You remember that song? "I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for Him I'll spend. Until my years shall end, I'll do what He may bid me. I'll go where He may send, I'll try each flying moment to prove that I'm His friend. That's really what being a friend to Jesus is all about. Did you know that? According to John chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus said, you'll do whatever I say. Well, if you're not determined to do whatever He says or what He bids you, then you're not really His friend. And He says He's not going to be a friend to you. As a matter of fact, He'll be your enemy. He'll be your opponent. And you really don't want that. There's a popular song out. Well, there has been for a few years now. Maybe it's not so popular now. And it's by a group called Train. And the song is Drops of Jupiter. And the lyric of the song is, your best friend always sticking up for you, even if I know you're wrong. Isn't that one of the things that we really look for in a good friend? Someone who will really stick up for us. No matter what, whether we're right, whether we're wrong, whether we're doing good things or bad things, someone who's always going to come and fly to our defense. Isn't that what we consider to be a good friend? I got to tell you, that's not the kind of friend that Jesus is. He will not stick up for you, even if you're doing wrong. As a matter of fact, if you're practicing lawlessness, doing the wrong things, not following His law, He'll say to you, I never knew you. He'll tell you to get away from Him. So Jesus is not the kind of friend you might think He is. You remember when Peter denied Jesus three times there right before He was crucified? And how even at one point it said that Peter cursed and swore that he didn't know Him. Jesus won't swear or curse that He doesn't know you, but He will say He doesn't know you just the same. And He won't be lying like Peter was, right? When Peter said he didn't know Jesus, Peter was lying. When Jesus says that on the day of judgment, when you stand before Him, if you haven't followed His rules, if you haven't practiced what He wants you to, the things He wants you to do, followed His laws, He will say, I don't know you, and He'll be telling you the truth. You know why? Because it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we're not doing the things that He tells us to do, that He wants us to do, He'll have to deny us. If we're not following Him, then He won't be our friend. Not the way we want Him to be. The final title that Jesus holds, that people just aren't crazy about at all. I got to think that there just aren't many people in the world who like this version of Jesus, and that is Judge. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, once again He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Depart from me. Where is Jesus saying that people should depart from Him too? Is He just saying, get out of my sight there? I don't want to look at you? What is Jesus talking about here? Folks, He's talking about judgment. He's talking about what is going to be said on that great and final day when everybody's going to stand before Him. He made a similar statement in Matthew chapter 25. Remember that great judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25? He's standing there and all the nations are presented before Him. And He's parting folks on the left and on the right, the goats from the sheep, and sending them to their ultimate destination. We read there in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 that He said, then He will also say to those on His left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. In verse 46 He says, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Do you know that Jesus? The one that's actually going to send people to hell? The hell that they've chosen for themselves while they're on this earth. He's actually going to assign those people there personally, Himself. Do you know that, Jesus? Because you're going to be standing before Him one day. I want you to know that nobody in the Bible spoke more about hell than Jesus. We don't like to talk about that subject. We avoid that like the plague. We'd just soon never read a word about hell. I got to admit, I don't like to talk about it either. But I want you to know, Jesus talked loads about hell. He called it a place of outer darkness, unquenchable fire. He called it a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And on that great day, we're all going to stand before Him. And He Himself will be appointing people to their ultimate destination, whether heaven or hell. Where do you want to go? You know, the choice is yours. I can't make that choice for you. Jesus can't make that choice for you. Only you can do that. It's all up to you. You ready to follow Him the way that He wants you to follow Him? Now's the opportunity to do that. You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 640 in just a moment as a song of encouragement for you to obey the gospel this very morning. Don't wait another day. You may not be given another day. I'll tell you something about Jesus. Jesus is compassionate and caring and loving and forgiving and merciful. Isn't that awesome about our Lord? Those wonderful characteristics that He has, but that's only half the picture, unfortunately. That's an incomplete portrait of Jesus. He's compassionate, but He's demanding. He is forgiving, but you know what? He forgives people conditionally. You have to do your part to be forgiven. He is a loving Savior, but He's also a condemning judge. And we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, everyone's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day to be recompensed or paid back for his deeds in the body according to what he's done on this earth, whether good or bad. He's the only one. Listen to me now. Jesus is the only one that you can go to for mercy and compassion and salvation. But if you wait until then, it's too late. Did you know that? If you wait until judgment day, it's too late. He can't do anything for you then. He'll have no mercy for you at that time. There just won't be any left. You ready to come to Him right now on His terms? You ready to do that? That's the only way to do it. You can't come to Him really unless you do it on His terms. You ready to do that? Let me put those terms up here on the board. I know you believe in Him. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe in Him. You ready to obey Him? Ready to put Him on in baptism? Ready to repent of your sins? Stop doing those things that make Him displeased with you? I can baptize you into Christ this very moment. Nothing standing between you and heaven but that water right there. You ready to take that plunge? Stand ready to help you this morning. Won't you come up here and let me know what you need while we're standing and singing?